Shirim Aleph Zion. Hagido li shuava nafshi. Tell me, are you that my nefesh, my soul loves? Eicho tire. Where do you graze your flock? Eicho tarbitz tzoroim. Where do you rest your flock at noon? You tarbitz is they lie down to rest. But tzoroim. Shalomo eye ke oityo. Why should I be, Keoitya says, flit about, I don't know what that means, aledre chavirecho, around the flocks of your companions. I don't know what that all means, let's see the Rashi. Okay, hagidol isho avo nafshi. Ach shav ruach hakoidesh chayzer umedama. Okay, so now, until now, the Klal Yisrael was speaking to Hashem. Now, the ruach hakoidesh Hashem, chayzer umedame oiso, Litzoin hachavivo al horoye, to a flock that's beloved to the shepherd. This is a very interesting thing. I didn't know that shepherds are in love with their flocks, but I think there was a time in the world where people really were enamored by the work that they did. In other words, they were really into it. No, it wasn't for them. There was a work ethic. There was such a thing. I love my flock. These are my charges. I'm in charge of them. I'm responsible for them. You know, it's. I love my work. I take pride in my work. That's what? Oh, yeah, that's something else. Yeah, but this is talking about his love more than the Rachmanis. But it's, I always tell the story about this Italian shoemaker that I had, that I brought in my favorite pair of shoes to him. I would have paid him anything to fix them. He says, it's not worth it. It's just going to rip. It was something between the sole and the body of the shoe. And he says, forget it. I'm not. He says, but if you want, I could send it to the old country, you know, like to Italy. He must have sent the poor people there. He sends these kind of shoes. He says, fine. 6 months later, I walk into the shoe store. He says, where you been? I said, I've been waiting for you. So what? He says, I fixed it, and it's good. It came out, he didn't think it would come out good. So he saved it for me. He said, how much does it cost? $1. In other words, I would have paid him $100. But it was like, he had pride in his work. I did, it was only $1 worth of work. It was a whole different story. So anyway, so that's the Tzoyin HaChaviva Al Haroya. Yeah, so this the precious, he says, Omeres Knesset Yisrael Lefonov. So Knesset Yisrael says back to him, Ki isha labala, as a woman to her husband, Hagido li shoava nafshi, Eicho tire, Tzoyncho bein hazeevim halolo asher heim b'toichom. Tell me, the one that my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock, the Bnei Yisrael, among the wolves in whose midst they live? And where will you... where will you lie them down in this golos? She ace tzora lohem katzoraim, she ace tzora latzoin. It's a tzora to them like tzoraim is an ace tzora latzoin. In other words, the tzoraim is when the heat of the day is there. So the tzon in the heat of the day is very oppressive. The heat of the day is very oppressive to them. So they lie down. I guess they try to take shelter as much as they can. But so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this is a little strange. Achshav ruach hakodesh chayzer medame oisel etzoyin. So, but then he says hachaviv al roya. Then he says omeres knesset yisrael lefonov ki isha lebala. So first of all, just he says knesset yisrael is speaking to Hashem like a wife to her husband. That in itself is very. It's like a very like a personal talk. You know, I mean, we have private conversations. You know, what does it say about Magilonu Sichoi, Afilu Sichoi Kalabin Ishle Ishtoi? That when they come to upstairs, so they tell you, even they have everything recorded, even the private, intimate little whispers that you had between a husband and a wife, everything is recorded over there. Scary thing. But you got to be careful what you say under all circumstances. But anyway, so Klal Yisrael speaks to Hashem. In as a woman to her husband says, tell me, he says, the one whom my beloved, in other words, that my soul loves you. He says, where are you going to graze your flock between these wolves that they're in the midst? In other words, referring to Klal Yisrael today in the Golos is in the midst of wolves. Yeah, where are you going to graze us? How are you going to protect us? What are you going to do? How are you protect us from this? this terrible matzah. If you put us in a golos, we're surrounded by animals, we're surrounded by wild animals, we're surrounded by a security council of nations that wants to destroy us. And he says, where are you going to graze us for protection between these wolves? How are you going to lie them down to rest on the tzoraim in this golos? Because it's a time of tsar, just like tzoraim in the heat of the day. What are you going to do to protect them from the tzoras in which they are? It says, what this means is as follows. And if you ask, what does it concern you? You hear? So I guess this is, now again, this is not, this has never been clear to me. Ein zek voidcho, she'eye ka'avelo oito al sofa b'chia al tzeini. It seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're going to ask, what's in your business? In other words, you're asking Hashem, how are you going to take care of the Klal Yisrael? You know something, sonny boy? I'll take care of him. I know how to take care of him. I sent him into Golos. I'll protect them. I'll guarantee their protection. And with all the tzaras that we had, you know, we're still alive to tell the story. Nobody else is alive from all the oppressors. So something's been going on. So he says, V'im tema ma'ich bisloch. And if you're going to say, what's it your business? So I'll tell you like this. Here I'm not sure. It's not so clear who's talking exactly, but this is clear. Ein zek voidcho. This is not your covet. She'eya ka'avelo, that I should be like a mourner. Uite al sofa, whose lips are covered with a veil. I guess the mourners covered themselves with veils. Boichia al tzoini, weeping on my sheep. So in other words, it sounds like Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not your covet, you know, that we should be like mourners weeping on their sheep, that this is not a covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here you have a very, I think this is the pshat, I don't know for sure. It's not. In other words, you lost of sheep, so you're weeping. You lost your flock, so you're weeping. You lost your flock. So I think.
Why is the ma'arech pesach?
What? No, I think. What?
What's the ma'arech pesach?
What's the who?
Ma'arech pesach in the first place.
So, I don't know. So it's not. I think that Klal Yisrael is saying to Hashem, "V'im term, if you're going to say to me, what's in your business?" But that's not the way they translate it here, because he makes it. And he says, "And if you ask with a small u." So I don't know. I'm a little confused. I was always confused about this puzzle. Before I saw this guy, after I saw this guy, I'm still confused. But it sounds like what the Klal Yisrael is saying. Like, it's not covered for Hashem. That that here we are, your tzoin, and you're and like we're in mourning, we're in suffering. It's not covered for Hashem, the suffering of the Klal Yisrael, the extent to which we have to mourn our losses, the extent to which we have to suffer the pain in the Golos. So what comes out is a very interesting thing. Just one little observation. Well, let's just read the next Rashi, and then we'll get there. Al edrei chaverecho, around the flocks of your friends. Eitzel edrei shor haroyim. We're together with all the other nations, so to speak. They're also shepherding their people. Klemer ben gedudei ha'umois, between the flocks of the nations, hasmuchim al Elohim acherim, v'yesh le'melochim esorim anhig noisom. They're relying on other gods, and they have kings and princes leading them. We're in Golos. Look at the contrast. We're in Golos. We have nothing. We don't have a king anymore. We don't have a homeland. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a palace. We don't have anything. We're running with being chased from one place to another. And we're living amongst these nations that they have kings and they have this. They're established. They have a state. They have a homeland. They have everything. And here we are in Golos. We have nothing. But what I think is very significant over here is Klal Yisrael is suffering. Klal Yisrael is suffering. What are they saying? They're complaining to Hashem, it's not covered for you. Imagine that we're suffering, and who made us suffer? We know. It's the Umayyads can't do anything to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his kindness and wisdom and sense of what has to happen, you know, he made us suffer. And we come and complain, it's not covered for you. You're being disgraced. What do you mean? We're telling him he's being disgraced. And we're not faking him. I don't think that we try to fake him out because, you know, we gave up on that a long time ago. Right? We can't fake him out. Fake me out. Can't fake him out. You know, we can't do that. So the Teretz says a Jew in the Golos can be suffering intense pain, intense bizyonis. But when he's asked the question, Ma'ich Bisloch, whether he asked or he's being asked, I'm not clear about that. But his answer is, you know, I feel the pain of the Kovid Ashchina. I feel that Hashem's being disgraced. It's disgraceful for you that your people, the people upon who you put your name, the people that you chose to serve you, the people that you chose to bring to Har Sinai and to give your Torah, the people that you chose to be the emissaries to the world to carry your message for posterity, these people are suffering. It's not covered for you. It's an insult to you. It hurts us, the sufferers, of the pain and the insult to the Kovod Hashchina that's happening because of our suffering. That's Mika Amcha Yisrael. That's a beautiful thing. If you make me suffer, I'm going to say, I feel bad for your disgrace. I'd shoot you if I could. You know, like, no. We have that. We have that love of Hashem. This is She'ohava Nafshi. That doesn't disappear. Remember, he's talking to like a wife to a husband in the Golos. He's exiled me. He's estranged me. He's done everything. And yet I'm talking, Eicho, he says, Hagidali She'ohava Nafshi. I speak with such terms of endearment. And what bothers me more than anything else, what bothers me more in the midst of my intense pain is the suffering of your reputation. Is this? Imagine that we're suffering. The enemies are. What's going on today? You know, enemies are there, ready to kill us, and they do what they do, and all the terror that goes on, and everything else. And what bothers us? We're suffering, but no. What bothers us? How could? What a bizoyan to Hashem! This is His land. This is His people. This is His, and such bizoyan as He has to suffer. That's a godless on the part of Klal Yisrael, that they could have such feelings. The truth of the matter is, I say, I don't know if it's true, I said many, many, many years ago, I remember, like, when I was still in the Kollel, on this Rashi, it was just right after the Six-Day War, and it was a little bit after, whatever, it was a couple of years, and they had that famous picture of Chayalim coming to the Kotel, and I don't think they were wearing hats or anything. And they were like, I think there was even a video. You saw them shaking there. They're all standing in awe and very, very taken by the whole scene. So, you know, what did it really represent? So, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I thought what it really represented was as follows. They weren't religious people. They came to this holy place. They sacrificed. It was the most dangerous battle was the battle for the old city, because there were snipers and you know, they had to go through the alleyways in there. That was a very dangerous, very dangerous thing. They were standing, shooting from above, shooting from wherever. But they came to the Kotel, and what did they see? They saw a garbage dump. That's what it was. They destroyed all the shuls. I think 99 out of 100 shuls the Arabs destroyed. But the Kotel they couldn't even start up with, you know. That's Kodesh Baruch Hu swore a shvua that will never be destroyed. All they did is they made it into a garbage dump. Came these guys, they weren't religious, but they saw here this holiest of places serving as a garbage dump. That pain I saw on their faces, I don't know if it's true, but that's the Jew, whether he's religious or not, he has that sense of love, of appreciation for Hashem. And in his own suffering, there it's not their own suffering per se, or they were Moshe Nefesh to get there, but in the depths of his own suffering, he could feel the acute pain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being disgraced. I think that's a very powerful lesson. I think that if we were to realize what a sense of appreciation of Kovod Shemayim that we truly have inside, we would taka do more to bring that Kovod Shemayim about. Because we don't think, we don't feel that we have that appreciation. I told someone recently who, I don't know if he was talking Kovod Shemayim, but told me he wasn't feeling it, so to speak. You know, the whole feeling for the Yiddishkeit. And what I think is the best etzah is teach others, influence others. Why? How does that work? I think this is how it works. Because when I do that, I come to realize how much inside I really do feel for that Kovod Shemayim. Because sometimes the feelings are buried very deeply, and it needs something to bring them out. And I think when I express them to someone else, when I try to influence someone else, when I try to be marbe kovet shamayim in whatever way, and by every person that comes to a deeper realization of who Hashem is, marbe kovet shamayim. That's more kovet shamayim because another person appreciates. When I do that, then what I'm really doing more than anything else, maybe or equally, is I'm realizing in myself that I have that feeling. It seems that Klal Yisrael in the Golos has that feeling that they could be suffering their own suffering, and yet they could feel, I don't know if only, but equally, certainly to a level of complaint, they could feel that it hurts me that Hashem's covetous being so disgraced.